Thank you for tuning in to the Head Game Podcast, powered by Mindful Athlete Training, where you grab an inside look into the heads and minds of the high performer. Learn what they do and how they think to help you take control of your own head game.
So welcome back to another edition of the Head Game. Today we're going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to introduce really a conversational topic between myself and Dr. Stevens. And, before we do that, just to briefly revisit for our listening audience, we week in and week out have thought about, you know, how can we best educate, inform, communicate and share with our listening audience the head games that different types of persons play. The head game specifically being that back and forth of that knowing, wanting, yearning, to better communicate to the world what it is that we experience, sometimes as high performers, leaders in our individual walks of life. And when we interview high performers, that conversation is more about their perspective, their head game. But as of late, we've tried to bring to our listening audience more conversation between Dr. Stevens and myself about everyday things that are more woven into the fabric of the pulse of society, current events, what's going on in today's world. But today's different slant is that I'm going to be introducing a topic to Dr. Stevens that he and I have not discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to call it blind faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I thought about 24 hours ago. And I've been mulling it over, and it's something that I very much want to hear your opinion about, but I want the uncut version of it. So here we go.
All right.
In today's world of performers, especially when you think about mental performance consulting or mental skills coaches, good news for our world, our little piece of the planet, is that there's more and more discussion, Hunter, about how people can help in those situations, methods of preparation, methods of readiness. And the ultimate focus really is how do you help a high performer do well in that moment that matters the most? But I got thinking, especially in watching more relevant current sports, so much of the preparation has to do with the athlete's mindset of when you have difficulty and when you are down and out, how do you better recover? How do you put your best foot forward and execute in real time? And the emphasis is if you can work on mental skills and you can apply yourself and put your best foot forward, then that best outcome leads to success. So here is my question for you today. What do we do when through mental skills training, through mental fitness instruction, our athletes perform in their absolute best, but still lose anyway?
So this is an exciting one. It's funny. It's actually not too far off as we kind of were accidentally coordinated in terms of what we were wearing from gear today. I think similarly, our minds are melded in this way. And something I was thinking about more recently is, how much does outcomes matter? You know, we're always talking about from the perspective of really, you know, how do we achieve ultimately success? Because in sports, like other domains, performance ultimately matters, but I feel like sometimes in sports, in the military, in medical, you know, the situation is higher. It's a determinant of one's well-being. It's a determinant about ability. It's a determinant about sometimes public view, where you stand, status, etc., that all get wrapped up into this. You know, people's futures are wrapped up into outcomes. Right. When it comes to it, if you underperform in front of a recruiter or a scout or potential college or potential future, you know, NFL team, like at a combine, right, those things have weight into your future. So how much do outcomes play a role? And the question, interesting, is when somebody is at their utmost or at their best, but does not succeed, how does that affect them? Is that enough? I think it's determined by how that individual is really viewing that instance or that moment. If it's the Super Bowl, right? And maybe it's somebody who's been a multi-year veteran, that Super Bowl where maybe that's their first one, that feels potentially more devastating, right? You can have someone who's younger feel that same devastation, but recognize, oh, I'll get back here someday. And they may never will. They might never actually get back there, but their perception of that experience is different. When people don't achieve the goal, but perceive themselves of giving all they can, that's an important mindset to have, but it's really about how do I expand my timeline to focusing on my development? How do I come to terms with understanding that trying to maximize myself is the ultimate goal of performance? Sometimes, most likely, if you're maximizing yourself from a physical and a mental standpoint and you're coming up short, there's two reasons. One, there's variables that are outside of your control that you weren't prepared for or that you couldn't perceive in the first place. Or two, if you hit your utmost ceiling, you cannot match the moment required of you. And that comes with a variety of different kind of mental settings. If it's the first, where it's there were variables that I didn't perceive, there are variables outside of my control, that's a little bit more digestible. It's a little bit more easy to handle. Because what you can then take that step back and recognize, and a sports performance individual might recognize, but also athletes can do this as well, as I just need to work harder, right? I can put in more effort. I can develop this skill. I can develop this from an ability standpoint. I can put in more work in the off season or during my training to try to get back there. If it's the latter, if it's more so I've reached a ceiling that I just no longer can get past just because of my raw talent and my work ethic, and I've maximized that and I've it's not even underperformance of what you're saying. You're saying more so you've performed at your best, but you've come up short. I think that's much more difficult from a mental standpoint to navigate and come back from.
The reason why I bring it up is because, you know, so often there's always that next, when as an athlete, as a high performer, as an executive. I was just having this conversation with a gentleman at my local gym just this morning, who buys and sells businesses, and is all about looking for that next opportunity. It makes me think of the red car theory. Have you've heard of the red car theory?
No, I have not.
The red car theory is, if I ask you how many red cars did you see on your drive from home to work today, what would you say?
12.
Okay. But can you absolutely recall all 12 of those?
No.
No. But if I told you, hey, Hunter, tomorrow morning when you wake up, I'll give you $100 for you to count the number of red cars between home and work.
Yeah, I do.
Right? Mm-hmm. So my point is that you're going to be looking for more opportunity to count red cars. And opportunity has much to do with success in business, success in leadership, success in any aspect or walk of your life that you assign value to. Because it could be, those opportunities could be right in front of you. But if you're not looking for them, then you're not going to extend yourself. You're not going to have that conversation. You're not going to have that sidebar, take a few minutes. And all of those opportunities may be there, but are potentially lost because you're not looking for them. Mm-hmm. So go back to my original question. When we are all about, hey, we need to get you at your absolute best, we need to help you find that 1% difference through mental fitness training, through execution of strength, endurance, recovery, and flexibility, and they're hitting on all markers and their BioQ is rising, but they're still failing. Now, what do we call that? what is the space, the head game that we then need to help our clients pivot towards so that they can reboot and try again?
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned, I think the status of if I've hit my performance ceiling is much more difficult to cope with versus I can put in more effort or I can put in more work. As someone who's a mental performance coach, right, a mental fitness coach, and trying to help people perform at their best and maximize raw talent, you know, when you talk about paying attention, I mean, that's always where it needs to start, right? Awareness of yourself, awareness of what you're trying to accomplish. Something I regularly talk about with my athletes and my high performers that I work with is our perceived ability. So ultimately, if you have a maximum ability of 80%, right, or an 80, let's say, and somebody who just has more genetic gifts, talent, is at 100. If you're competing at your best and that person is competing at their best, you won't succeed. You just can't. It doesn't mean you won't catch them, but when they're at their best and you're at your best, you will come up short. And that's sometimes an inevitability in athletics that we need to recognize. However, everyone has a floor as well. And so the floor of the person who has 100 ability might only be at 70. And your floor at when your maximum is 80 might be at 50. So if you're playing at an 80 level and that person is more closer to their floor that day where it's 70, you actually have a chance. The mentality though that you need that is required of you is to always try to maximize yourself, is to try to focus on how do I consistently try to maximize myself, because in their scenarios, I can't perceive someone as always going to be at 100. I can't always perceive my competition, my task, my challenge, the test, whatever it might be, at its utmost best. Now, sometimes it might be, and you can perform and you can compete, but you will come up short. But there's also a piece that if you can maintain to try to maximize your ability in that situation, to perceive your ability at its highest, and that you know you have an opportunity, you might catch it. You might catch that fastball that's just kind of drifting a little bit right into your zone, right? You may be able to beat that person that everybody else told you you can never beat in the one-on-one tennis match. You might have the perfect round of golf where everything is working for you and you're just flowing. But that's about you trying to maximize what you're capable of. There will be times, though, in performance where you feel like you were on and you just came up short. But it's not about necessarily just the outcomes. It's about making sure that you're really focused on how to maximize your ability in day in and day out. And really, that's what I would encourage from anyone who's in a performance setting, from being that mental performance coach, is how do I maximize their controllables? How do I get them in the best space possible to recognize they need to try to maximize, because that's the only thing that gives them the best shot and the best opportunity to beat it. Because you know what? Sometimes they might be the person who is at that 100 level, but because they the way they perceive themselves, they might be at that 70 that day, right? So we're always trying to maximize whoever we're trying to work with. But sometimes you will come up short. And it's understanding, though, that it's sticking with that mentality, right, is to maximize yourself regardless of opponent, regardless of challenge. To stick with it, even when outcomes aren't always there. Because just because outcomes aren't always there doesn't mean you're not making progress.
So interesting, you know, the making progress and has so much to do with the perception of the performer. Yes, there are tangible gains, which most of us pay attention to through wins and losses or personal statistics in today's betting industry. You can bet on just about everything. You can get away from the entirety of a contest and get all the way down to the micro points of performance, which for many pique more specific interests. It allows you to look at the individual performance. I think the challenge for these performers, whether it's athletics, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's because let's face it, you know, this notion of high performance, you know, we say there's life is a performance and there's an athlete in all of us. Mm-hmm. And to compete is to be an athlete, right? To compete against others, yes. To compete against yourself, to compete against a system of metrics that has been established you know, we're metric crazy right now in our society, and how that metric driven world often will dictate. You'll see win percentages that are posted before game. I can hop on my phone right now and see, you know, what's the statistical percentage of victory for my favorite hometown team. Then you can look at the ever-changing variable of that possibility win versus loss as it evolves in real time. But this is what I find so interesting. What are we doing? Can we do, is a better way for me to phrase it. Can we do something for the athlete in real time, other than being with them as they are performing? We've talked about mental performance coaches now being on, being in the dugout for baseball games, you know, readily available as a hitting instructor would be, and the impact that that potentially has on. What are your thoughts, Hunter, about the receptivity of the performer to that feedback and some of the gains they might be able to make when they get feedback?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, something that we have been doing more is having an integrated fitness coach on the field, specifically when we've been working with quarterbacks. So we'll go out and we'll do training with a quarterback coach, but we'll kind of be there, you know, touching points, enhancing the lessons from a physicality standpoint, but also a mental standpoint as well. But I thinking about that too, of like, how do we impact people in real time is really interesting. You know, I was watching F1 this past weekend, and everyone who's a driver in F1 has a, you know, a strategist, a lead strategist, or a race engineer. The race engineer's role is to make sure that the driver is up to date on, you know, when to come in, when to get new tires, when, where everyone else is, what's their strategy, right? That's all part of the race engineer's job. In baseball, I work with a lot of catchers. You know, catchers will have earpieces. Catchers will be talking to the coach based on call sign and situations to help them achieve whatever their pitch count is, right? Or whatever the pitch call selection is. It's really interesting to think about from a mental fitness side to be in the ears of the athlete in real time. And I think that would be really interesting in terms of tracking, but more so in terms of being able to identify real time elements to give mental tools and tips, especially if there's an athlete that's maybe struggling or dealing with challenge or needing to refocus because they're either hyper-focused on something or under-focused. And it's just really trying to find a unique perspective that's going to help them ultimately achieve. But from the mental performance side, that we can actually be in their ear would be really interesting. And then obviously the thing that we really love is the physiological. So looking at biofeedback. Biofeedback can track actually how your body is under stress in real time. So when your body is under those stressful situations, it might be a great way to alert them, to give them identification. You know, we talked with a group in the military who was working with Air Force pilots that it would alert someone when they were reaching hypoxia, right? A lack of oxygen while they are at altitude. You know, it'd be interesting to have some type of cue or some type of signal that would allow someone to recognize when they're not in the ideal state of mental performance. So I think that's a few ways I think that could benefit athletes from a mental performance side, and probably potentially in the future, something that we might be able to implement if allowed.
You know, that's a really interesting perspective when you talk about the integration, really, of human technology really together in unison. The metrics that are so performance related at this stage in human performance training and development, the mental performance consulting, the mental fitness movement. Imagine a world which is pretty much here, that allows us to be in the ear of the athlete in real time, the same way that offensive coordinators can speak to quarterbacks up until a certain point, where then there's the automatic shutoff of that communication prior to the snap. You now see catchers, as you mentioned, who have earpieces that are either talking about types of pitches that are being thrown. I'm sure other strategy as well as approach is being discussed. Again, real time. You see mental performance consultants in Major League Baseball that are now in the dugout addressing mental performance related discussion as it is unfolding. The gap between, let's face it, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, there was conversation much more after the fact. And when you talk about performing at your very best, to kind of bring this full circle back to my original question, when you're constantly revisiting enough in your mind strategy and technique to be your very best, and you play your very best, you touch on all points, but yet the outcome is still not desirable. The win is not there. The gain that is the most identifiable is not celebrated. Where lies the role of the mental fitness coordinator? And I think the answer is somewhere in the middle between real-time performance, feedback thereafter, and the role that technology plays, which often drives how we quantify success. If we could get our mental fitness as needed, that would be something. That would be something. And those are the very principles that I think need to be discussed more often to actually see how performers can respond with those types of moments. And obviously they need to begin in practice. What is the role that we play? It's the head game that now maybe we can peer into, lean into in real time, listen to more intently, and perhaps find some real nuggets, some real gains for performance. Thanks so much for listening to another edition of Uncut, the Head Game.